A blessing. You enjoyed the Rodriguez family, say amen.
Amen.
I cannot imagine raising 12 children. I about lost my mind raising three.
Amen.
Now let's carry that to another level. I cannot imagine raising 12 children in a motorhome. They just ain't enough room. One of y'all would be dead, I promise you. I'd have done at least one, probably half a dozen. I'd have done strung them up somewhere. Amen. Amen. Thank God. All kidding aside, I appreciate y'all and appreciate what you do. And I'm glad it's you. Hallelujah. And amen. Hey, God called us all into different areas. And I'm glad He chose mine for me and theirs for them. Amen. And I look forward to it every time we're with them. What a blessing. Kids, I love you guys and appreciate you. And appreciate you taking a stand for the Lord. Amen. And man, you could use your talent anywhere, but I'm glad you're using it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Take your Bible and go with me to Philippians chapter number 3. I'm going to do something I normally don't do. I've got a cough drop in my mouth, and I normally would not try to preach with that. So if it lands on the second or third pew, I apologize in advance. But my throat is giving me a very, very hard time, and it has been for months now, but this past week it's been really bad. And so I prayed all day yesterday, Lord, give me voice for tomorrow. And so far He's done that. Amen. And I thank God for His faithfulness. Philippians chapter number 3. There's a verse of Scripture, or two verses I'm going to read this morning. And if you're from our church and you're faithful to our church, you've heard these two verses several times since New Year's Eve. But for some reason, I cannot... If you ever... For those of you that don't read your Bible, you ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. But if you read your Bible, every now and then something will arrest you and you have a hard time getting away from it. In other words, you do your daily Bible reading, you do your daily prayer, your Psalms and your Proverbs, but something in your mind keeps going back to that verse. And I preached from this already this year, made reference a couple of times, but for some reason the Holy Spirit keeps saying we're not through. We're not through. And by the way, all the camouflage is bus promotion today. So it's not just that they're really a bunch of rednecks, which they are, but but they're dressed up for the bus promotion, okay? They normally don't wear camo to church, which doesn't bother me. It's my favorite color, amen? I tried to get me a suit, a camo suit. I got a camo tie, amen? But Philippians chapter number 3, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
You pray for us this morning. I need a couple of you men to pray right now. The Lord had touched my throat. Paul said in verse number 13 of Philippians chapter number 3, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Say the next word with me. Forgetting those things which are where? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are where?
Behind.
Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are where?
Before.
Stay with me. Look up here. We'll read the next verse in just a second. Why do we need to forget what's behind? Listen to me. It's unchangeable. You can't go back. You can't fix it. I wish you could. I would love to go back, Brother Freddie, and redo some things. I got on a bus and heard the gospel when I was 4 years old. If I had it to do over again, I'd have your testimony. I'd have never went out into the world. I'd have never messed my life up with sin. I'd have never done those things that I did. I'd have got saved at 4 years old instead of 19 years old. But I can't go back. So many of you are living in yesterday. Your lives are scarred from yesterday, and you're dwelling on yesterday, but you can't do anything about it. So Paul said, I'm going to forget those things which are behind. I'm going to forget those things which are behind. And he said, but I'm going to reach forth unto those things which are before. I'm going to forget what I could not do. I'm going to forget what I did not do. And I'm going to focus what I can do and what is available for me in the future. I'm going to forget about the past and I'm going to focus on what's in front of me. Too many are looking back. We preached on Lot the other night, and we used this verse of Scripture again, and we talked about forgetting the past, getting over our past, and we talked about not looking back. Not looking back. Lot's wife looked back. You know the story. She turned into a pillar of salt. Little girl in Sunday school or little boy raised his hand. He said, "My mama looked back and turned into a telephone pole." Some of y'all will get that in just a minute. Amen. But I want you to notice the next verse this morning. This is where I'll preach. Paul's already talked about forgetting what's behind and reaching forth unto that which is before. And in verse number 14, he said, excuse me, y'all just bear with me. He said, "I press toward the what?"
Mark.
I'm going to say it again. I press toward the what?
Mark.
The mark. The mark of what? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brother Todd, would you stand and pray for me right there this morning? Yes, God. God, help us, please, this morning. Amen. This morning, just for a few minutes, I want to preach this thought. On your mark. On your mark. You notice behind me there is a target. And in the center of that target is a bullseye. How many of you would say amen to the fact that the bullseye is the desired result? But take the target away, and what have you? Somebody once said, we all live under the same sky. We all live under the same sky, but we do not all have the same horizon. In other words, I live the same place you do. I saw the same sunrise this morning you did. I saw the same clouds in the sky driving in as you did. But my view and my vision may be quite different than yours. Here's the problem that I see. Most people, Brother Charles, I'm afraid, do not aim too high in life and miss. Let me say it again. The problem I see is that most people do not aim too high in life and miss. They aim too low and they hit.
Amen.
Say it again. Most people don't aim too high and miss. They aim too low and hit. Now what I want to ask you this morning, very simple thought, and I'll be very quick. What are you aiming at? I'm talking about with your life. What are your goals? What is your mark? I love to shoot. Guns. Say amen right there. Better not have no gun activist people. I'm a gun activist. I actively shoot my guns. Amen. Hallelujah. I have plenty of them. Got one in the truck right now. Nod your head. You'll be all right. I started to bring one in here this morning, but I was afraid in the day we live, it'd freak you out. Amen. I love to shoot. I love to shoot my gun. I love to shoot my bow. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But when I shoot my gun, what good is it if I'm just shooting randomly in the air? When I shoot my gun, there must be a target in my view. There must be a desired place that I want that bullet to land or that arrow to land. If I see a bunch of deer out in front of me, don't freak out. I kill them. I eat them. Amen. Somebody help me. I see a bunch of deer in the field, I'm not going to pull a Hercules and just shoot my bow in the air and hope that it finds its mark. But that's what I see most people doing with their lives. They are randomly pointing their lives in any direction and just shooting every which way and saying, well, maybe everything will turn out all right. Chances are very unlikely that without a mark, that without a desired point, Paul said, I press toward the mark. In other words, I got my eye on something. I got my sights set on something. There is a desired end for my life, and that's what I'm pushing toward. But so many today are pushing toward absolutely nothing, Brother Jason. That's why their lives wind up in such a wreck and such a mess. That's why we have to deal with this tragedy and that tragedy, because people have no aim and no direction for their life. Amen. Let me ask you something. What's the goal for your life? Where are you aiming? I'm not talking about your job. I'm not talking about getting the kids ready for school Monday or Tuesday, whichever. I guess they're out tomorrow. I'm not talking about the mundane, everyday, day-to-day life. I'm talking about in the great scope of things. Amen. Which way are you pointed? Amen. This is real deep. If you miss it, you're just going to miss it. Stay with me. You got to be highly educated to get this. Wherever you're pointed, that's where you're going. Whichever direction you're aimed in, that's where you're headed. People say, boy, I want to get in church and I want to do right. Well, you better start pointing in the right direction. You better start getting your life pointed in the right direction. Where are you aiming? What are you aiming for? Somebody said, boy, I wish my children had turned out like that. It's up to you. It's up to you. I wish my children would grow up and have a testimony like that, say they never got into drugs or alcohol or any of these other things, any kind of sin. They just served God their whole life. I wish my children had. It's up to you. I feel like I'm in here by myself. Somebody help me. We'd have church this morning. I'm trying to ask you, where is your life aimed this morning? Some of you get up and go to work every day. You come home, you do the same old thing every day of your life, and you're just kind of hoping everything's going to turn out all right. Sooner or later, you've got to take charge of the weapon and aim that thing in the right direction. Daddy, you're going to have to look at mama and say, baby, we going that away. How many of you married to a backseat driver? I ain't. I'm married to a front seat driver with her feet on the dash yelling and screaming. Stop! I don't care where we going. Why are you going this way? Why are you going that way? Don't you know it's quicker? Why don't you hush? I'm driving. Somebody help me, you bunch of cowardly men. I need some men with a backbone this morning to say amen right there. Amen. We need somebody driving the boat, somebody driving the truck. Somebody's got to choose and make a decision and saying we are going that way. Now, I chose for my family, we're going the way of the old-time religion. We're going the way of the King James Bible. We're going the way of old-time preaching. We're going by the way of the cross. We're going by the way of Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, well, what's your mark? Heaven. Heaven's my mark. But it's not just heaven. I want to reach it with a good record. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Again this morning, I'm going to give you three quick little thoughts and we'll go to the house. Where is your life pointed? What is your mark? What are you shooting for? Some people are shooting for wealth. That's all right, long as you tithe. Amen. Pay your church off. Somebody said we need more room. I know that. I know that. I've got good news and bad news. I know the solution. And we've got the money to do it. It's just still in your pocket. Amen. Amen. Hey, I pray for our men and our ladies that have businesses. I pray for those businesses every day. Hey, look, I haven't asked for a raise in years and years. I've never asked for a raise, by the way, and I don't want one now. I'm not after something for myself. But boy, I'd like to see this church prosper. Amen. Amen. Where are we going? Where do we go from here? Where are you going from here? What is your aims? What is your goal? Where do you see your family in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years? Where do you see yourself? Spiritually with God. I'm preaching to people who are no closer to God spiritually than they were the day they got saved. They're no deeper in the Word of God than they were the day they got saved. Matter of fact, some were closer to God the day they got saved than they are today. Amen. Now listen, Paul said, I press toward the mark. Now, mark can be a finishing point, but a mark, stay with me, can also be a starting point. Are you listening? A mark can be a finishing point, but it can also be a starting point. And many times, especially in shooting any kind of weapon, the starting point or the finishing point depends on the starting point. Does that make sense? If it doesn't start right, it's not going to end right. If you don't start in the right direction, you're not going to wind up in the right direction. I brought my bow this morning. This is a Matthews. And it's bad to the bone. I have a sticker on here with marks how many deer I've killed. Hallelujah. I love to shoot my bow. Now on this bow there is something called a sight. Now if I just draw, and I was going to shoot in here this morning down the thing, down the aisle, and I thought, probably not a good idea. This thing's smoking about 311 feet a second. We don't want to do that. But where this arrow winds up depends on where this arrow starts. Are you with me? My sight right here has got to line up with the target that's in view. Now, a lot of times this is what I see in people's life. They got the right target, but their sights are way off. The way to get from here to the desired result, to the bullseye of the target, depends on whether this is right or not. If the sight's not right, the arrow's not going to fly in the right direction. Somebody say amen right there. How many of you men have missed a deer or any other game because your scope was off? I've heard more my scope was off stories than I care to talk about. Amen. I've heard that. Oh, I saw a buck, man. It was a 12-pointer, had 12-inch tines, 38-inch spread, weighed 495 pounds. But my scope was off. That's how you end a lie every time. Anytime you want to lie about hunting, just end it with my scope was off. Are you listening? And when your scope is off and when your sight is off, if I'm shooting Brother Bob, that sight can be way off. But that sight has got to line up with this and where it's going. Do you get my drift? So we got to get the right start. Now, a lot of times, we can't see. We can't see the sight, and we don't know where it's at. So here's what I do in my life. Y'all stay with me. I ask for a little light. Are y'all with me? I said, Lord, I can't see the sight. I can't see the way to go. I can't see the direction to point my life. I'm glad the Lord said He was the light of the world, and He can put a little light on the sight where I'm headed. Somebody help me right there. Now, when I get this sight lined up with this arrow, it will find the desired result. Now, here is what most people are saying. Here is our lame brain excuse. if we hit the target at all, well, at least I hit it. At least I hit it. Oh, maybe this. Well, at least I'm saved. Well, at least I'm in church this morning. Yet think about what you just said, at least. Why settle for at least? When I get the rifle out or I get the bow out, when I don't hit the bullseye, I'm upset. I'm upset if I'm a quarter inch off. Are you okay? Here's my desire. How many of you can say Robin Hood? I didn't, in my spare time, just cram these two arrows together. I shot that. Somebody go, ooh. At 30 yards, I shot that. Ooh. I've never done it again. That's why I keep this forever and ever and ever. I told my K, I said, go in my office and get them two arrows that are stuck together and do not pull them apart. I'm scared to death somebody's going to walk in my office and go, oh, let me fix that. If you touch that, I'll kill you, man. Brother Lamar Magatha, I believe you and I were together when I done that right there. That's the desire. Do you know how much better that feels than, well, at least I hit the target? We were at an archery shop in Carrollton with about 10, 15 men standing around when I'd done that. I just had started shooting a bow. And I'd done that, and every guy in that place went, whoa. I'm like, yeah, I do that all the time. I don't shoot a whole lot because I can't afford to buy more arrows. Amen. Man, when you do something like that, it feels pretty good. But to do that, for this to wind up like this, awe-inspiring, everything back here has got to be right. So if we're going to have the Robin Hood, the bullseye in our life, we're going to have the right start. We're going to have some light on our sight. We're going to have to be able to see where we're headed and where we're going. And we're going to have to make sure it's lined up. Let me just say this. It's best to start with Jesus. It's best to start with Jesus. Paul said in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12 and verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus. Hey, you're not going to hit the bullseye when you're looking at the world. You're not going to hit the bullseye when you're looking at the American Idol crowd and the Beyonce crowd and the NFL crowd and the NBA crowd. Hey, you're not going to hit the mark when you're looking at the Republican crowd or the Democratic crowd. Hey, we better get our eyes on the Lord. You better start right. Let me say it again, you better start right. At 6 years old, I went to the altar, prayed a prayer that a deacon told me to pray. My mama told me I was saved, that's good enough for me. I struggled all my life. As a teenager, I struggled. I was in church the whole time, but I struggled. You know why? I was trying to live for God without knowing God. I never got the right start. But I'm glad as a 19-year-old boy on a New Year's Eve, the Holy Spirit was faithful enough to deal with my heart one more time. And I trusted Christ as my Savior. I got my eyes on Him and I got the right start. A mark is not only a finishing spot, but it is a starting spot. You don't have to turn, but if you want to, you can. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse 1 and 2. The Bible said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Anybody know? Above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now watch verse number 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your affection. I'm not a Bible corrector, but I want to change a word there just for the sermon's sake this morning. Set your sights. Amen. Set your sights. Your sights and your affections the same thing. Your eye and your heart kind of line up. Would you agree? Amen. Somebody say, oh, I want to do this. And listen, man, you're doing exactly what you want to do. Somebody said, boy, I wish I could live for God. You're living for God just as much as you want to. Boy, I wish I had a closer walk with God. You're walking with God as much as you want to. It's where your sights are set. Amen. Some of you, I'm going to be real nice right here. You're more concerned about your boy getting a ball scholarship than you are spiritual well-being. I'm for sports. I love it. I love to watch football. I'm glad Alabama won. Somebody say amen right there. If Georgia can't do it, maybe Alabama can. Hallelujah. I love sports. But we're living in a day when it's become God. And everybody's got their sights on that. And they've got their sights on this over here and their sights on that over there. Everybody can't play in the NFL. Would you agree? Amen. Hayden played basketball down here at the rec. My little grandson went down there and watched him. Every one of them little kids wants to wear the number of their hero. I'd hate to know Allen Iverson was my hero. Amen. Bunch of punks. They want to grow up and play in the NBA. You're 5'2" and white. Forget it. Amen. Y'all nod your head. Have a sense of humor about you. Forget it, man. Everybody can't do that. Everybody can't slam dunk a ball. But let me tell you something everybody can do. Everybody can know Christ as their Savior. Everybody can live for God. And everybody can be faithful. There's not a living creature on this earth that can't be successful as a Christian. Now, my bullseye and your bullseye may be two different things. Your bullseye is to raise 12 kids so far. Amen. Every year I wonder how many they got now. Me and Tony Shirley cast lots. We bet. Amen. I'm kidding. We don't. Amen. Their bullseye is different than mine. I had a pastor tell me a while back, he said, I never travel, I never leave my church, I stay right here in my office, I'm here 7-8 hours a day. He said, I didn't know if he was getting on me or what. I said, your bullseye's different than mine. I'm slowing down a little bit this year and not going as much as I did, but it's God's will for me to go and help other churches and preach to teenagers and these kind of, it's God's will for me to do that. That's my bullseye. Now, a lot of people get, I'm getting sideways here. A lot of people get crossed up because somebody else's bullseye ain't what theirs is. God has a plan for everybody's life. Amen. Everybody ain't, we ain't a bunch of cookie cutter molds. I ain't supposed to be like Brother Steve Swofford. And Brother Steve Swofford ain't supposed to be like me. He couldn't if he tried. Amen. He'd never be this good looking in his wildest dreams. Amen. Some of y'all will go out to eat lunch. He'll know that before I get home. Amen. Everything I say about Brother Steve from the pulpit, he's calling me. So I'm expecting a phone call. Listen, best thing you can do is set your affection on things above. Get your eyes on the Lord. My kid can hit a home run. Does he know Christ as his Savior? Is he going to heaven when he dies? My kid knows karate. Does he know Jesus? We all right? What about mom and dad? Where's mom and dad going when they die? That's my ultimate goal. Would you agree? Heaven. I'm going to heaven when I die. To ensure that, I've got to start with Jesus. Now, between here and heaven, however many years I've got, I found out in my Christian life, been saved 31, 32 years, there's a lot of obstacles. Amen. There's a lot in the way. I bow hunt. I haven't hunted with a gun in many years. I love archery. I love shooting a bow and arrow. Amen. But when I set my stand up, Brother Jason, I'll go into the woods and I've got my stand location. I know where the deers are coming. I know where the deer trails are. You know what I do? I go in and I clear me a shooting path. I got a little saw and some shears in my backpack, and I'll go in and I'll clear what we call shooting lanes. Do you know how much it takes to throw this arrow off? A twig that big around. Something so tiny and so insignificant can mess up the entire flight of this arrow. It doesn't take much, Brother Todd. It doesn't take much. And we got so many people in our church this morning, you got the right start, but you've messed up along the way. And here's your problem. Oh, that won't matter. Oh, that won't matter. When I first started bow hunting, I was used to hunting with a high-powered rifle, a 7mm Magnum. I'm talking about a shell that big around and that long. I didn't care what was in front of me. If there's a semi-truck and there's a 10-pointer standing on the other side, I'd just shoot through the truck. That was my attitude. Get a big enough gun to blow whatever's in your way out of your way. Amen? That was my attitude. And I started hunting with a bow and an arrow, and I found out that you just don't shoot through everything in front of you. Because one little thing can change the entire flight of that arrow and cause it to go in a totally different direction. Because of so many things that the devil has thrown in your path, and you've looked at it and go, that ain't that big a deal. Oh, that ain't no big deal. We can go through that. Your life is totally off course. You started in the right direction, but you haven't continued. Somewhere along the line, something has deflected your affection. Something's deflected your sight. Where you thought you were going, you're not going that way anymore. Some of you are in church this morning in body only. You've looked at your watch 15 times since I started preaching. I've been watching you.
Amen, bro.
I'm not worried about what time it is because all y'all know. You got it down to the second. You're more interested in what's out there than what's in here. Ooh. If we're going to start with Jesus, wouldn't you say that it might be best to continue with Jesus? 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And verse number 16. The Bible said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Now let me stop right there. When we talk about doctrine, what is doctrine? It is basic Bible teaching. Doctrine is what we believe about the Word of God. He said, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Now watch the next word. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. There's something about continuing. There's something about continuing. I have so many people, Brother David, over the years. I've been pastoring this church come March will be 23 years. 23 years we've been here. We're growing old together. Brother Freddie, we couldn't count on our hands and toes the people that says, man, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Boy, I'm so excited, brother. I'm going here. I'm going there. Woo, but I'm going to do this and do that. But somewhere along the way. If we had had everybody do what they said they were going to do, we'd evangelize the world. They had a good start. I'm not so impressed with good starts anymore. I've seen too many start and never finish. What happened? They failed to continue with who they started with. We got people here this morning that are saved. You're on your way to heaven when you die. Thank God for that. But your life's a mess. Things are all a mess and a wreck and upside down, and you can't seem to get it on track. What happened? You haven't continued with who you started with. You know what that prodigal son said? Let me ask you a question. A lot of people preach and say, oh, this represents a lost man. I don't think it does. If you know the story of the prodigal son, he wound up in a far country in the pig pen. Where was he? Where was he? Fixing to eat the slop that he was feeding the hogs. Was he still a son? Come on. Was he still a son? The Bible said he came to himself. He came to himself. You know what he said? What am I doing here? This is not where I'm supposed to be. This is not how my life was supposed to turn out. Have you ever made that statement? I never thought it would turn out this way. Every time you point it at the far country, that's where it's going, and that's how it turns out every single time. You know what he said? Boy, I've got myself in a mess. This ain't where I'm supposed to be. I will arise and go unto my what? Father. He's still a son. Don't tell me you can't wind up in a hog pen and still be saved. This bunch of liars running around talking about sinless perfection. Yeah, in your dreams. We won't know sinless perfection till we see Jesus. You live in a body of flesh, and as a Christian, you are as capable of sin as any lost man. People say, well, a real Christian couldn't do this. Oh, no, a real Christian shouldn't. Shouldn't and couldn't, two different things. Amen. I know some people are saved. You make them mad, they'll cuss you out. And I know they're saved. I've been married to her for 30 years. I'm kidding. I really am kidding. Boy, I just got that look. Brother Freddie said, I better go out to eat with somebody else. Amen. Amen. Seriously, this morning, we got to stay in the right path if we're going to wind up in the right direction. But so many have failed to continue. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. Your life's not a mess because of what somebody else did. Your life's not a wreck because of what somebody said about you on Facebook. Now, it may have been what somebody said on Facebook that deflected your arrow. But that's your fault. If Facebook deflected your arrow, that's where it was aimed. It's hard for Facebook to throw me off course when I'm looking at Jesus. It's hard for hurt feelings and bitterness to throw me off course when I'm looking at Jesus. You know why? Because I find no fault in Him. We're going to have the right start if we're going to hit our mark. Now, I ain't even going to preach on what the mark is because mine's different than yours. Oh, I've been deflected so many times. I've had to reload and shoot over and over and over and over. My problem is this, and I'm almost done, I promise. I bought a new .22 rifle. I went to get a pellet gun, and I asked the guy how loud it was. I wanted something silent. I won't tell you why, but I wanted something that didn't make no noise. And I asked the guy at Bass Pro Shop, I said, how loud's this thing? He said, it's about like a .22. And I thought, well, why not buy a .22? So I bought a new .22 rifle, and it's got a scope. Hayden, my oldest grandson, he's 8, is that right? 8 years old, buddy, he was fired up. I sent him a picture of it. First time he come to the house after we got that rifle, he said, Papa, let's shoot the real gun. He'd been shooting his BB gun for a while. And he got out there, and that first shot, Brother Todd, I set up the target, had a paper plate with a bullseye drawn on it. Buddy, he hunkered down on that thing, and he aimed and aimed and aimed and aimed. And I told him, I said, breathe out. And when all the breath blows out, squeeze the trigger. And he sat there, boy, and he, one eye, man, he,
I was expecting a shot. He went, I said, what are you doing? He said, concentrate. I said, that's good. Now, this is the first time he ever shot a real gun. But he drawled down on that thing. Finally, he said, I said, put the safety on. Let's go see where it hit. We walked down there. I'm talking about the first time kid ever shot a gun. Bullseye. Bullseye. Here's what happened. The more he shot, the more careless he got.
Amen.
He got confident. I can hit the bullseye. But he forgot the concentration it took to get there. After about two or three shots, I had to say, Hayden, look where you're shooting. He was looking around wanting to make sure Jonah was looking. You see me, I'm shooting the real gun. You still a BB boy. I got the real gun. I said, Hayden, every time you got a gun in your hand, you got to look where it's going. There's only one way that thing's going to reach its destination. That's if you're watching the bullseye.
Amen.
But the boy, the more comfortable he got with it, the more careless he got. That's where some of you are. You've got comfortable with being saved. You're going to heaven when you die, and that's good enough for you. Well, at least I'll be on the target. Wouldn't the bullseye feel a whole lot better?
Amen.
If we're going to hit our mark, we're going to have to start with Jesus. We're going to have to continue with Jesus. Let me give you this, and I'm done. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Now Paul is the one, remember, who made the statement, forgetting those things which are behind. Is that not right? Was the apostle Paul. He made the statement, said, I'm going to forget that which is behind. I'm going to that which is reaching for that which is before. He said, I press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I wonder if Paul hit his mark. I wonder if the Apostle Paul hit his mark. Now, every one of us have a beginning testimony. Every one of us do. If you're saved and on your way to heaven, you have a beginning. Theirs were very different, but thank God they both have one. Our testimonies are very different. Brother Freddie never heard the gospel in his life. First time he heard the gospel as a teenager. How old was he? 23 years old. 23 years old. I can't believe I didn't remember that many times I heard it. First time he heard the gospel as a 23-year-old man, he got saved. First time. Well, I wish I'd have done that. Our testimonies are different, but we both have a starting testimony. And the story around it is all different, but the base of it is the same. We all got saved. We trusted Christ. Now, here's the sad thing. We will also all have an ending testimony. How many of you know somebody who used to love the Lord and serve God, but they're not even in church anymore? Raise your hand. I don't want that to be my ending testimony. I don't want to be the woulda, shoulda, coulda. And I'm just as susceptible to be as anybody else. I don't lift myself up above a preacher who sinned or messed up. I don't lift myself up against a backslid Christian. I'm no better than they are.
That's right, bro.
So I better keep my eye on the prize.
Amen.
I better keep my eye on where I'm going. Wonder if Paul hit his mark. If we're going to start with Jesus and continue with Jesus, then by the grace of God, we'll finish with Jesus.
Yes, sir,
2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. Here's what Paul said. He's at the end of his road. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. In other words, I made it. He said, I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown. There's that prize of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all them that also that love his appearing. Somebody said, boy, when I get to heaven, I want it to be this and that. Well, it's going to depend on what you do here. Where you end up depends on where you start and where you continue. I'm glad that didn't go that way. I wonder how many have even got a start this morning. I wonder how many have even begun in the right direction. I wonder how many even know Christ as their Savior. Somebody needs to get on the right track this morning. Some of you started right. I could point at people. I could. Man, if I was one of them old 1800s preachers, that's what I'd do. I'd call you out. But we can't do that in this day we live because you can't take it. But there's people in this room, I pray for you. I've agonized, I've wept tears over you because you started right, but somewhere along the line, that flesh throwed a twig in your path. And you've flown off in the wrong direction, and you've hit everything but the bullseye. Everything you've hit's blowed up in your face, wreaked havoc in your life. You say, what I do? Get it back on track. Now the desire is to finish right. The desire is to finish right. How are you going to finish? Depends on how you start and on how you continue. Let's stand to our feet all over the house. Brother John, you come. Brother Charles, pick us out a good